Would you grab your Bibles with me this morning? Turn with me to the book of Luke. Book of Luke chapter 4. How many of you still use real Bibles? How many of you still do that? Yep. How many of you are gone AI? You have been taken over. AI, how many of you? How many of you are waffling? You're in the middle. That's all right. Before we look at that passage, would you bow with me this morning in a word of prayer? Father, I thank you again for filling us with your Spirit, and I thank you for giving us your word. Your word tells us that it is a word unlike any other. It is living, it is active, it is sharper than a two-edged sword. It has the ability to divide between bone and marrow, the intention of the heart, the thought, and the mind. God, today we are asking you to cause your word to come alive. Before we begin, I ask for a fresh anointing. Holy Spirit, that you would take literal possession of my mind and my mouth. I only want to say those things that I hear you say and do those things that you've shown me to do. And with the authority you've given in the name of Jesus, I bind up every demonic bird that would seek to snatch and steal and pervert the words that are going to be sown. I command you to be silent, and I command you to release every person. Get out of this building in Jesus' name. And Father, for those who are listening online, I take authority over every demonic bird, and I command you to be silent. You will not interfere. This word will accomplish the purpose for which it is sent. And Father, I want to say thank you again. Your children are hearing your voice. Jesus, you are the one who said it. My sheep hear my voice. God, we know there are many out there who call themselves your children, have never heard your voice, have never acknowledged it. They're not led by you, but your children hear. And I want to thank you. We are hearing in this place today. God, you're going to say things that are not going to come out of my mouth. And I thank you that in this place, your children are going to hear it. They're going to know it's you. They're going to capture it, and they will be obedient to it. God, we believe a single word from you can change everything. And so by faith, we say thank you for what you're going to accomplish in these next few minutes. We ask it in the powerful name of Jesus, believing, and everybody expecting said, amen. This morning, I want to share with you what the Holy Spirit has been laying upon my heart for today, going into the summertime. Luke chapter 4, verse 13. We know this account. This is the account of Jesus after he 30 years was raised up, and then he went to the Jordan and he was baptized by John. He came out of the Jordan River. How did John know that Jesus was the Messiah again? How did he know? He was his cousin, but how did he know? Anybody? The dove. It's true. When he came out of the water, the Spirit of God came down in the form of a dove, landed on Jesus, and remained and filled him. And what John the Baptist heard, the Father said to him, "The one you see my Spirit come upon and remain, that is him." Right after he was baptized and filled with the Spirit, what did the Spirit lead Jesus to do? Right after. Went into the wilderness. Exactly right, Alan. Led into the wilderness for 40 days. He was fasting in the wilderness. At the end of that period of time is when the enemy came. We know the story. But I want you to look at verse 13. This is right at the very end. He had done all the temptations. He resisted him by saying, "It is written, it is written." Look at verse 13. Luke 4, 13, it says this. When the devil had finished all his tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Let me say that again. When the devil had finished all the tempting, he left him until an opportune time. We know this account. Can I ask you a question? What is an opportune time? What is that? Let me share it with you. It is a time that is more favorable for you accomplishing your goal, whatever the goal is. It is a time when it is more favorable than at any other time. Let me tell you who knows about opportune times. How many of you have had children in your life? Just raise your hand. How many of you? How many of you are thankful for all of your kids? How many of you had the opportunity to go to the warehouse and exchange some, do a hockey trade? Don't raise your hand. I don't want to hear it. I want to tell you kids to understand opportune time. They want to ask us for something that is kind of out of the ordinary or the exception, and they know when a good time to ask is, and they know when it is not a good time to ask. Do you remember that as a parent? They know that when you walk in from work and you are tired and you got all kinds of stuff going on, that is not the time that you go and ask them for the ability to go and do whatever you want to do. They back off and they wait and they go, I'm going to wait for a good time. I'm going to wait till mom and dad are doing good. I'm going to wait till they're happy. I'm going to wait until, and that is when I'm going to hit them up. That is the opportune time. Can I tell you, we as adults, we do this all the time. We do it with our bosses. There's something we want to ask them, talk to them about. We can see this is not a good day. This is not a good time. We wait, our radar's up, and we're looking. We find the opportune time. We go believing that's going to be more favorable than if we'd have done it before. Can I tell you, we do it with our friends. Let me be really honest here. Do we do that with our spouses? Do we? All the time. Jane's not here today, so I can share really freely. We as men know, okay? If we think that we can just walk in the room and start talking about whatever we want to talk about, we find out really quickly it doesn't work that way. We need to have a sensitivity, and actually it's called respect. When we walk in and we read how our spouse is doing, and we can tell this is not a good time to bring this topic up. I'm not going to bring it up. Or we wait until things are good, things are more settled, they're doing well, and we ask the question, is this a good time for us to talk about this? And they go, yeah, this would be a great time. That is the opportune time we're looking for. We know how that works. Let me tell you, the enemy knows better than we do. Better than our kids, better than you and I. I want us to look at this passage for a moment. It says the enemy left him until an opportune time. But I want you to see that he had just finished taking advantage of an incredible opportune time in Jesus' life. At the end of a 40-day fast, let me tell you, the enemy, most times, doesn't tempt us when we're strong. And let me just say that to you. You know it. I know it. When I'm doing well, when I'm strong, I don't experience temptations in my life the same way as when I am weak, when I am tired, when I'm alone. In fact, let me tell you what the unholy trinity is, and we all know that. What's the unholy trinity that the enemy knows? When we're tired, when it's dark, and when we're alone. The Bible says we're not to be ignorant of how the enemy works, but I think there's a lot of believers who are totally ignorant of how the enemy works. When we understand, when we're tired, we're vulnerable. When we're alone, we're vulnerable. When it's dark out, we're vulnerable. We are weaker and more vulnerable at any of those times. But let me ask you, at the end of a 40-day fast, just by a show of hands, we're not going to... How many of you have been called into and went through a 40-day fast? How many of you have done that? Yeah, there's a couple of us. Can I just say one word? When God calls you into it, you won't die. So, even though fasting is something that has been kind of lost in our culture, God still calls people into it. But I want to say, at the end of a 40-day fast, no eating, no company, no nothing. At the end of that, how do we know that the enemy saw that this was an opportune time? Let me tell you the first indicator. He comes to Jesus, end of 40 days, no eating. And by the way, when you go through a period of time and you go, you know, I'm just not going to eat and call it a fast, don't call not eating fasting. Just not eating is fasting. Fasting is when you don't eat and you take that time in the presence of God and you pray, you're in worship, you're committing that time to the Lord. There's a lot of people who just don't eat. That's not fasting. That's not eating. But at the end of that 40-day period of time, how do we know it was opportune? Let me tell you, the first thing the enemy did when he came to Jesus, he goes, I think he's probably hungry. He goes, Jesus, would you take that stone and turn it into bread? Now, I want to ask you a question. What is one of the sales tricks that realtors use when they're going to sell a house? What is one of the tricks they use? They put fresh bread inside the house. They bring bread that has been baked in a bakery, they seal it up, they bring it into the house, or they bake the bread in the house. So when a person walks in the house, the first thing they smell is fresh bread. Can I ask you a question? Do you think we are impacted by the smell of fresh bread? Anybody who goes, no, you're lying. The enemy said to Jesus, take that stone and turn it into bread. Well, I'll tell you, the enemy knew that the moment he mentioned the word bread, if you have ever fasted, you just mention a word and you can instantly smell it, you can instantly taste it. That's how it works. Let me tell you, hunger is an opportune time. And let me give you a couple examples. We know the story of Esau, who was out hunting. At the end of his hunting time, he comes back and he is famished. And Jacob was cooking a bunch of stew, and Esau comes over and says, I want some of your stew. How many of you remember the story? Just raise your hand. We all do. We are raised on it. Esau's going, I want some of your stew. I'm famished. I'm going to die without it. Jacob, being the kind of guy he was, he looked and went, Esau's hunger is an opportune time. And what did he say? Sure. I'll give you some stew in exchange for your birthright. Now, can I say this to Esau? In that moment, what mattered more? A birthright that didn't mean anything until way down the road, or stew that was going to meet that hunger famished inside of him in the moment? Let me tell you, that was an opportune time, and Jacob took it. Let me give you another one. How many of you know the golden rule when it comes to shopping for groceries? What's the golden rule? Don't shop hungry. When you shop full, what do? You got your list, you walk up and down the aisle, you find this, you find that, you put it in your buggy, you go and you walk out. When you shop hungry, you get to the till and you go, how did all those things get in there? And you pay for it and you walk out the door and you go, man, it's normally $150. Why is it $225 today? And somebody needs to look at you and go, because you were stupid and you shopped hungry. Should I give you another one? How many of you have ever been home at night? You've had supper. You're settling in. You're maybe watching a show. And you really didn't have time to eat a lot of supper. And all of a sudden, at about 10:30, you start getting the rumblies. Don't raise your hand. How many of you instantly, the moment that happens, you rush to the fridge, you take vegetables, you dice them up, and you take them to your couch, and you eat vegetables all evening until you go to bed? Don't raise your hand. I don't want to see it. Or how many of you in that situation, your tummy is going, and the first thing you get up and you find the chip, you find the popcorn, you find the candy bar, you find... Can I just say to you, that's an opportune time. For those of you who remember Craig Hill in the Ancient Paths, I'll never forget the story where he says he's sitting watching at night and he gets up, he's hungry, and he's walking to the fridge to go get some pizza. And partway through, the Lord says to him, Craig, what are you doing? Anybody remember the story? A few of us. I'll tell you, for him, that changed his life. The enemy had just taken advantage of an opportune time in Jesus' life. And can I just tell you, praise the Lord, he was not successful. If he had been successful at tripping Jesus up to make bread, you and I wouldn't be here today. And you and I would have no hope of heaven, no hope of forgiveness, no hope of anything. Can I tell you, it hung in the balance between bread and no bread. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't trip up? I want you to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 22. Those of you with AI will probably beat the rest of us. I'm already there. Did anybody beat me? AI? Anybody? That's what I thought. Proverbs chapter 22, and I want to read verse 3. Look at what it says. It says, a prudent man sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple keep going and they suffer for it. Another translation says this, a wise man sees danger and takes refuge, but the fool keeps on going and experiences the consequence of his foolishness. Let me rephrase that verse a little bit. How many of you have ever read the Message translation? The Message? Yep. How many of you have ever read the Amplified translation? Yep. If you're going to read the Amplified translation, you better sit down because they can say in 80 words what normally takes about 3. But there's some good meaning in there. Let me rephrase that. A wise person sees when a season could be used by the enemy as an opportune time, and he prepares for it. But the simple or the fool doesn't see it as an opportune time and remains unguarded and unprepared. I want to ask you a question, and don't raise your hand, but how clearly do you see opportune times that the enemy is going to use, or how many of us don't see them until it's too late? Let me tell you what you know and what Holy Spirit has been laying on my heart for quite a while coming into this Sunday. The enemy knows that with all the things that are different about the summer months, that in our spiritual life, we are entering into an opportune time. I got to ask you a question. How many of you are kind of amazed that we are now, the end of June, half of 2026 is gone? How many of you are like, holy smoke, how did that happen? Can I say this? I don't think it's an issue of us getting old. I think it's an issue that there's a lot going on. But we are entering into an opportune time of the enemy in our life. Let me ask you why. What does the wise person know about the next 2 months that we're going into? What does the wise person know? What do we know that the fool doesn't know about these next 2 months? Let me tell you. How many of our regular routines throughout the rest of the year are uprooted and changed during the summer months? How many routines are different? We know they are. We know that it's a time when many of us are gone away from home, and so all of our normal home patterns are changed as we're gone, we're traveling, we're staying in hotels, we're at different people's place. All of that is uprooted. We know it's a time when we are in holiday mode, and it's a time when we are up later than normal, a time when we are maybe more tired than normal, a time when our disciplines are being let go. And we kind of go, it's summer holidays. Lighten up. Now, can I tell you, it's a wonderful time. I'm glad we have it. It's an exciting time. It's a beneficial time to stop and stop doing things and have a change of pace and stop racing. But I want to tell you, with all of that, there is a letting go of some of the things that have a tendency to weaken us spiritually. I don't want you to raise your hand, but how many of you would say that you come out of every summer with all that goes on in that summer, you come out of it and you are spiritually stronger than you went in? Don't raise your hand. Or how many of you would say you come out of your spiritual or summertime and spiritually you were either on hold during that time, or you have let some things go, and spiritually you are weaker. And your mentality is, you know what? I'll just pick it all up in the fall. How many of you would say, in the summertime, your daily devotional time takes a hit? How many of you would say, your corporate worship time in the summer takes a hit? I just had someone say to me this past week, They're thinking about their summer, and they were thinking, it's like, you know what, we're going to try and get away as many weekends as we can. And I just asked, and I said, so when you guys get away, do you guys find a place to worship? And they go, oh, no, we'll do church when we get back. Now, can I say, I don't think going away is wrong, and I don't think not going to church is wrong, but I do believe that in the course of all of that, there is something that weakens us during that lack of corporate worship time. How many of you would say, don't raise your hand again, how many of you would say that the spiritual fruit on your tree is heavier at the end of the summertime? Or you would go, I look at the tree at the end of the summer, it's like there's almost no fruit there. Don't raise your hand. I want to tell you, the summer months and all that they entail, they don't have to be an opportune time if we know how the enemy works and we are prepared for it. And let me tell you how I know that. For those of you who have exercise programs for health reasons, don't raise your hands, but I know some of you do. For health reasons, you have exercise regimes in your life. And can I say this? It doesn't matter if it's summer or winter. It doesn't matter if it's raining. It doesn't matter if you have company. You maintain that program. And why do you do it? Because your life depends on it. Isn't that funny? Why doesn't the exercise program wane during the summer? Because it's a priority and your life depends on it. For those of you who have eating programs, for whatever reason, and many of you are on eating programs, you have removed a pile of crap from your life, you have included a pile of good stuff in your life, and you're on that program for a bunch of different reasons. Can I ask you, how many of you when you enter the summer go, let's just throw all that out the window and let's just eat like everybody else does, whatever's there, whatever's available, the smorgasbord of the summer? Or do you go, it doesn't matter if it's summer, winter, it doesn't matter what the temperature is. My eating program is going to stay the same whether we're on holidays or whatever because my life depends on it. I know you. You maintain your program. But why is it when it comes to our spiritual health? The health and strength of our spiritual man, we are often so willing to let it go, and our thinking is, well, you know what, it's only 2 months, I'll get back at it, I'll pick it up in the summertime, and man, I won't have devotions for 60 days, but I'll start doing it again in September, we'll get back at it. When the summer's over, when the busyness is over, when the traveling is over, when the tiredness is over, I want you to think about this. Imagine for a moment, those of us who are married, if we said to our spouse, you know, we're just going to take a break for the summer. And we're going to pick this marriage up again in September. Can I just share something with you? If I did that, I would probably see Jesus within a couple days because Jane would send me there. The Bible tells us, the wise with eyes wide open see what's coming and take refuge, they take precaution, they prepare themselves, they plan for the opportune season to remain strong and steadfast, and as a result, they come out of that season stronger than they went in. Not break even. Stronger. This morning I want to share with you what the Lord has laid upon my heart, and in order to accomplish that, and I will tell you something straight up front at the end of this. I'm going to ask you to make a decision. Before we enter the summer, I'm going to ask you to make a decision. Zach and Virgil, could I have you guys come for a second? Zach, could you go to the other side and give one of those to everybody? Virg, on this side, everybody. I would like you to take just one now for you. At the end of it, we're going to make some available for some of your family members who aren't here, or a spouse who's not here, or somebody who's not here. You may want to pick one up, and you may want to explain it to them and give it to them. After I'm done, you may not want to. We have garbage cans at the back of the church, recycling bins, and so you may want to just take that and recycle it before you walk out the door so there's no conviction in your pocket. But I want to share with you what God has laid upon my heart. And I'm going to tell you straight up front what I'm going to share with you, you don't have the ability to do. I say this to people when I'm counseling them all the time. I look at them and go, I don't trust you. I don't believe you can do what we're talking about. How many of you ever had a counselor look at you and go, I don't trust you? How many of you have ever had that? I look and I go, I don't trust you, but let me tell you, I trust Holy Spirit in you. I trust God in you. I don't trust you. I trust God in you. And I want to tell you exactly the same with what we're going to look at this morning. I don't trust you to do this, but I trust Holy Spirit with His strength, with His reminding, with His power, with His ability. I trust Holy Spirit in you. I want you to take that sheet. And I need can I borrow Jean's copy? I forgot to take one. I want to wait till everybody has one, and then I want to go over this and explain a few things before we end today. Print it on both sides. Would you just flip it over? Just make sure you know that you got to have two sides on that sheet. If you only got one side, let me know. We'll get you another one. Two sides on that sheet. Anybody not have one yet? A couple people at the back. I want you to look at the title on the top of that sheet and the title on the first page you'll see. And this is the title of the message. This is going to be the title of what we're talking about today. Summerproofing our spiritual man. Now, I know a lot of people this past week have been waterproofing a lot of things. How many of you ended up with a little bit of water in your basement? How many of you had that? Yeah, there were some. How many of you have experienced the flood of Noah in your life or around your life? Yeah, some of you have. It's unreal what's out there. But this is summerproofing. When we waterproof, we know what we do. This is summerproofing our spiritual man. On that first page, I want you to look. June 28 is today. It goes all the way down. July 18th, you flip over your page. It goes all the way across down to July 30. You flip it back over in the top of your first page, July 31, all the way down to September 2nd. Beside every one of those dates, you have a chapter in the book that I'm going to ask you to commit to read on a daily basis. I want to tell you what the Lord laid in my heart. He said, Colin, I want you to go to Galatians. I want you to begin there, and I want you to count the chapters all the way to the book of Revelations. So Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, all the way, count all the chapters. I did that. I was like, okay, God. He said, there's enough chapters there that for every day in the summertime, you could read one chapter and you'd have all the epistles all the way down to the book of Revelation read. Beginning of Galatians chapter 1 and ending with the book of Jude. I'm going to ask you, in preparation for going into the summertime, I'm going to ask you to commit to reading one chapter out of the epistles on a daily basis. One chapter. By the end of the summer, you will have read all of the New Testament epistles. You'll have read everything from the book of the end of Corinthians all the way to the book of Revelation. For some of you, that'll be the first time you have ever consistently read through the entire, that portion of the New Testament. And during that period of time, every time you do it, we talk about this. Before I open my Bible, it says, pray before opening. Holy Spirit, before I read, would you open my spiritual eyes and allow me to see what it is you are saying to me through this word. Letting the word of God speak to you. It doesn't matter if you're on holidays. It doesn't matter if you are up late. It doesn't matter if you are, it doesn't matter. Throughout the course of the summer, every day, committing yourself to one chapter. Would you flip over to the back side of your page, in the middle of the page? You will see right underneath July 30th and September 2nd, it says daily scripture reading. That is what I just explained. Right beside that, it says this, daily prayer, 5 minutes. How many of you know the name Bill Bright? Yep. Bill Bright, God used him powerfully. Back in the 70s and 80s, Bill Bright went onto campuses. He called college students, university students. He called them to a 5-minute commitment daily to reading the Bible and 5 minutes of prayer. He goes, I'm not calling you to an hour or 2 hours. He said, I'm calling you to 5 minutes of prayer a day. You're a believer. You claim to know God. You claim to walk with Him. You claim to have relationship with Him. 5 minutes should not be too much. And I remember being at one of his conferences, and the entire auditorium, several hundred of us stood up and committed ourselves to 5 minutes of prayer a day. Can I tell you, there's days go by when you don't do it and you lay down at night and the Holy Spirit goes, you committed to 5 minutes. Guess what you do? You either quench the Spirit of God or you get up and go, I want to be a person of integrity. I gave my word. I'm getting up and I can take 5 minutes of prayer before I hit the sack. The funniest thing is when you make a commitment, God brings that word back to you and we are more likely to follow through. Daily, reading that one chapter in the Bible, daily, taking 5 minutes. And I want to encourage some of you, take your phone and set your timer on 5 minutes. Set your timer and hit go and start praying. And when the timer goes off, you go, I did it. Now, if you want to pray more, that's great. But if you've committed to 5 minutes and you go, I did my 5 minutes, that is what I committed to, God, I'm out of here. 5 minutes. Bill Bright would have stadiums of thousands of people stand and commit to 5 minutes. I'll tell you, at the end of this, I'm going to ask you to stand and commit with Holy Spirit's help. Look at what's right beside it. Daily listening. We have learned a long time ago that the Spirit of God is speaking to people and we are hearing His voice. Isn't it amazing to think that we have a relationship with the Father and we don't ever take the time to listen to what He has to say? We have talked about it over and over. Maggie from the healing rooms came and said, not hearing God is the abnormal. When you're in relationship, hearing is normal. If you aren't hearing, that's abnormal. That needs to be corrected. For us to take 5 minutes, and I want you again, set your timer and go, God, would you open my ears? I want to hear your voice. I'm going to shut up. I'm not going to read. We know Martin Luther. Somebody said, if you had 30 minutes a day, Martin Luther, how would you spend it? He goes, 5 minutes reading, 10 minutes praying, and 15 minutes listening. Can I tell you what you know? What God has to say to us is way more important than what we have to say to God. And wouldn't it be amazing if we came out of the summer after committing 65 days to spending 5 minutes listening every day that we walk out of it going, holy smoke. My hearing is better after 2 months in the summertime than it's ever been in my Christian walk. We begin that time by going, Holy Spirit, would you open my ears? I need to hear you. I want to hear you better. Right beside that, it says daily book. As the Lord was laying this upon my heart, He said, Colin, and we talked about it yesterday at men's group, there is a demonic lie that is out there among men, but it's among other people. I hear it from men all the time where men go, I don't read. Don't raise your hand if you've ever said that. I don't read. That's a demonic lie because the truth is it's not a matter of I don't read. It's a matter of I don't want to read. It's an issue of discipline. It's not an issue of ability. And the Lord said, Call, over that whole period of the summertime, over the 2 months, I want you to ask people to commit to picking up one book, and it's not a novel, it's not a mystery, it's not a whatever, it's not about motorcycles, it's not about government. One book that will feed your spirit man. And if you don't know what book to read, you ask people around you. If you're desperate, you come and ask me. I will give you a list of books to read. I just want to say this, there are man books out there that are only about 90 pages long. There are man books out there. If you really want a man book, I just finished one not that long ago that's 900 pages long. That's a man book. But I want you to choose a book. It doesn't matter how many pages. If we're talking 65 days here. If it's 200 pages long, you break that up by 65, you go, I'm going to commit to 3 pages a day. If it's 300 long, you're committing yourself to 5 pages a day. If it's 90 long, you're committing yourself to a page and a half a day. But at the end of the summer, to walk out of it and go, do you know what? In the midst of all that was going on, I fed my spirit man with a spiritual book. Every day, I'm done a book by the end of August. Now, I know for some of you, you're going, summertime, I don't have time to read. No. If we make time, if we commit to feeding our spiritual man, I'm going to ask you to commit to that. Look at the next line down below that. Do you see where it says weekly? Do you see weekly? Everybody see that? I'm going to ask you over the summertime, and there is 9 weeks, actually 10 because I extended a little bit, and you'll see down below there, there's the date from June 28 all the way down to August 3rd, August 30th. Every week, I'm going to ask you to commit to make one phone call to one person in our body. You maybe have never phoned anybody before. You may have never phoned this person before, but one person in our body, you pray and you go, Lord, who would that one person be who I could give a phone call just to say, just thinking about you, just praying about you, how you doing? And over the summer period of time, making 8 or 9 calls to people, and just saying, want you to know, God laid you in my heart. We talked about this yesterday at men's group. We went into a lot more detail about all this. But I want to ask you a question. Have you ever had a phone call from somebody, you pick it up and they go, you know, God had you in my mind. I was just thinking and praying about you and just wanted to phone and see how you're doing. Have any of you ever had that call and it was like, wow, God, I needed that. The timing was perfect. How many of you have experienced that? Yeah, a pile of us. Let me tell you, it's way funner to give it than it is to get it. But can you imagine over the summertime if all of us committed once a week to phoning somebody that God laid on our heart and just saying, just phoning you. I committed to the Lord to do that. Over the summertime, there's going to be 10 people I phone and you're one of them. Can you imagine the encouragement that would go from one to another over this summertime period of time? To hear 10 people saying, I'm praying for you. I just want you to know I'm praying for you. One other one. Isn't it amazing we can go through an entire summer and we are spiritual farmers and never sow a seed? How do we keep sowing the seed at the forefront? I want to tell you what the Lord laid in my heart, and he said, call. He says, I want you to ask the body to commit to something. I want you to ask them to commit to once a week taking the Because I Care brochure and sowing a seed. Now, I want to tell you, this isn't about going up to somebody and saying, hey, I care about you and I want to give you this brochure. For some of us, we could never do that. You know what came back to my mind? Do you remember the Why book that we did here at the church? We handed it out all over. We went to Saskatoon, went to London, went to Winnipeg, went all over the place. I'll never forget one of the ladies who did that. She said in the beginning, she was in Calgary, she said she really felt convicted to do that, but she didn't want to go out, have anybody see her. She never wanted to talk to anybody, so she went out at midnight and she put all the books on people's doors at midnight. She's going, I can't be around people. I'm terrified of people, but I'll hang the seat on the door at night. Well, can I say to you, if once a week all you did was go in somebody's mailbox and drop this at night, that would be sowing a seed. I got to tell you one that never crossed my mind. Jane and I, we were in Edmonton. We stopped at Boston Pizza. We're having supper before we came home. And I sit down and we order and I go to the washroom and I wash my hands. I come back out. And then while I'm sitting down, I look under the table and I see this thing laying on the floor. And I reach down and I pick it up and I said to Jane, I said, look what I found under here. I said, somebody must have been here and dropped it. She goes, that was me, Carl. Put it back. And it hit me. It's like she knew somebody would find it. If you put it on the table, the waitress is going to clear it off. You put it under the table, just like me. I sat down, saw it under there. I picked it up and go, and I'm like, so I threw it back under the table. Can I tell you there's 1,000 ways to sow a seed? But let me tell you, if we're not sowing a seed, we won't be sowing seed. And isn't the funniest thing, as farmers, we expect to have a spiritual harvest without ever sowing a seed. Can I ask you, how dumb would a physical farmer be to go, I'm not planting any seed, and yet in the fall, I'm looking for a big harvest. Farmers, stand up. How dumb are you? Show me the dumb farmers in this room. There's not one dumb physical farmer in this room. Our farmers are brilliant in here, prosperous in here. They know you sow a seed and you get a harvest. How can we be such dumb spiritual farmers going, I'm looking for a harvest, but there's no seed? God said, over the summertime, when most people don't even think about sowing spiritual seed, I want you to call people to sow a seed. Now, can I just tell you what I know? How much of what I shared with you is comfortable? Tell me if any part of that was not comfortable. Just be honest to raise your hand. How many of any of those things is not comfortable? You mean all of it is comfortable for you? All of it? All of your flesh is going, no problem, smoke it. We can do that. I know your flesh is reeling. I know it is. And I know there are some of you who are thinking, you know what? It doesn't matter what you said. I'm not committing to it because I know I'm not going to do it. And the reality is I might try and do some of it, but you know the trying is lying. Can you imagine me standing at the altar with Jane and the pastor goes, called, you commit to being faithful to her? And I go, you know, I'm going to try. There's another one. I would see Jesus in about 3 seconds. The Lord said to me very clearly, he goes, Call. He goes, I want my body in solid rock to come out of this summer stronger than they went in. I want them in the word. I want them in prayer. I want them listening. I want them sowing seed. I want them feeding their spiritual man through reading. I want them to be encouraging and praying for one another over the summertime. And it will not naturally happen. It will not naturally happen unless we make a commitment and go, do you know what? I am committing myself for the next 65 days to put this into place. Holy Spirit, with your help, because with my flesh, I won't and can't do it. I'm going to ask you one really dumb question before I ask you another question. How many of you would like to get to the end of the summer and be spiritually weaker than you are right now? Just raise your hand. How many of you would like to be spiritually weaker? Not one of us. How many of you would like to come out of these next 65 days and go, you know what? I am spiritually stronger than on June 28th when Pastor Call preached that message. I am in a different spiritual place. How many of you would like to be stronger? We all would. Almost. So I want to go over it again. Why don't you look at that sheet again really quickly. What the Lord laid upon my heart is to ask you to commit to a daily time of reading one chapter, every day for the next 67 days. Every day, taking 5 minutes of prayer, committing yourself in the midst of what you're going through on holiday, you got company over, you stayed up late, it doesn't matter. 5 minutes of prayer with the Father that you have relationship with. Let your buzzer go off and you're done. 5 minutes of listening, not reading, not praying, talking to God, listening in silence. Waiting for the Father to speak to you 5 minutes a day, going, Holy Spirit, open my ears. On a weekly basis, asking Holy Spirit, who needs encouragement? Who can I phone? I may have never phoned him before, but I'm going to phone somebody and say, you know what? Was thinking and praying about you. God laid you on my heart. Just wanted to phone, see how you're doing. It doesn't have to be a long conversation. Just going, was thinking about you, and you need to know I'm praying for you today. On a weekly basis, taking a brochure and sowing a seed. I don't care if you throw it under a restaurant table. I don't care if you stick it in someone's mailbox at night. I don't care if you go for groceries and you put it in the car under their windshield wiper beside you. You just throw a seed out there and give the Holy Spirit something to work with. Either we're farmers or we aren't. I'm not going to ask you what you think. But Dana, can I have you come? I want to ask you to take a quiet moment just between you and the Lord. I want you to ask one question. I want you to say, Lord, is this something you are wanting me to commit to over these summer months? And will you empower me to do what he talked about today? Just ask the Lord. If the Lord says to you, no, this is not for you, then be obedient to it. But make sure it's the Lord and not your flesh. The voice of a man has never moved anybody to do anything spiritual. But the voice of God has caused people to make decisions that have changed their life. They've sold their farm and went to the mission field. They've emptied their bank account and gave it to that mission project. They crossed the street with a dozen cookies and knocked on the door and began a relationship that led someone to Christ. I want to tell you again. The wise person sees what's coming. And prepares themselves. And strengthens themselves. To come out stronger than we went in. This morning, Father, I've done my best to be obedient, to share what you've laid upon my heart. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you have been here. I thank you that you are speaking. I thank you that you want more for us than we want for ourselves. And I thank you that you told me at the very beginning, there's not one of us in here that can do this. But with you. And so today, Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are speaking. I told you at the very beginning that at the end of this message, I was going to ask you to make a decision. And so this morning, if you are at that place, you are prepared to say, yes, Lord, with your help, I will. I will read that chapter daily. I will take that 5 minutes in prayer. I will take that 5 minutes listening. I will make a phone call every week. I will sow a seed, even if it's throwing it under the table. I'm going to read that book. Every day, I'm going to read 2 pages in that book, and by the end of the summer, I'll be able to say, I read that book. Thank you, Father, for speaking into my life, for feeding my spiritual man. Thank you that even though I've declared for years, I don't read. With you, I read. God is wanting you and I to come out stronger than we went in. You are open for him to work through you. I want to invite you to stand this morning. And I need to pray over you. God is wanting to do something in this body over the next 2 months. Blessing that comes with obedience. I want to thank you this morning. I want want to thank you for the promise that we are not alone. I want to thank you for the promise that it is your strength and your power on the inside of us. I want to say thank you this morning that you are wanting to take these next 2 months. You are wanting to grow us. You are wanting to flow through us. You are wanting us to grow, to hear your voice with greater clarity. You are wanting us to be a blessing in the lives of other people. You are wanting us to come out stronger than we went in. As wise people, we see the enemy during the summer as an opportune time. God, we are not going to succumb to that. So I release a grace and anointing over every person standing in this place today. Every person standing, watching online, I release an anointing over you. That daily as you begin to enter in, weekly as you begin to enter in, you will experience the power and the grace of God. Those times will become richer and richer. You will have revelation as you read the word like maybe never before. You will become encouragement in the lives of people who will go, thank you for that call. I needed that. And already in advance, I pray over the seeds that will be sown. I pray for those people like me who come back from the bathroom and look under that table and go, what is this? Thank you that you are faithful, God, with every seed. I release an anointing of the farmer anointing over every one of us standing today. Our physical farmers know and believe when they plant a seed that you bring a harvest. God, we believe that in the spirit as well. And I thank you for what's going to happen in these next 2 months, in our lives, through our lives. It's impossible for us. It's possible with you in us. And so today, as we commit to you, we thank you in advance for your faithfulness. And we declare our spirit man didn't just make it. Our spiritual man is more powerful entering into the fall than we were today on June 28, 2026. And to you, Father, we give all the glory and all the praise. If you are here today and if you're listening and there has never been a time when you have entered into that relationship with Christ, I invite you this morning just to make that decision and say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I invite you now to come in, forgive me, cleanse me of my sin, fill me with your spirit, give me a love for your word. If you prayed that prayer, welcome to the family of God. Would you all stand with me this morning and receive the blessing and benediction of the Lord? This morning as we begin these summer months, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his beautiful face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and today fill you with his peace and an expectation of what he's going to do in the next 67 days. I declare that in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Everybody receiving it said, amen. God bless you, church. Have an awesome week. We'll see you next Sunday.